Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are in the throes of talking about the elephant in the room, and I'm trying to make the case as to why it is so important that we do not elect rhinos anymore. I want to be very clear. The executives don't really matter when it comes down to voting. If you understand the role of the president, his job is to faithfully execute the laws of the union. And if Congress or the legislatures hold their executive in control, which is what they're supposed to do, then they would keep the executive from drifting into one legislating and trying to create laws and trying to do their own thing. Governors, presidents, they don't have the ability to create laws. They can only execute those laws. And in understanding of compliance and understanding this whole process of compliance to the Constitution, this is why legislators, our representatives, need to eat, sleep, and drink compliance to the Constitution. You get them to hold the line, they'll hold the court in line, they'll hold the president, they will hold everybody in line. They'll hold Congress in line. And it has to start with our state representatives. Now, there's ways we're going to get to this, and the common law grand jury is going to be one of those processes. But I want you to understand that we also have to take the party back, because if we don't take the party back, then we're going to continually be vexed by people that claim to be Republican when they're not. You know, as we were cutting out yesterday on a previous episode, I was mentioning really quickly Kathy McMorris Rodgers. I mean, every congressional district practically, or I should say practically, if you look at all of Congress and all the Republicans in Congress, there's not a lot of them that are really champions for the Constitution. And even the champions are, you know, every once in a while, they'll actually, whether they know it or not, do things that they shouldn't be doing. Even Rand Paul. So, with that, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only program on the air that will give you the academic evidence necessary in getting our government back into compliance. So let's be a part of the solution. Don't need to ask if you're going to be a part of the problem anymore. Let's just be a part of the solution, okay? And let's kind of move forward, because I don't want to spend a lot more time in doing the obligatories and that type of stuff. We kind of covered those. I do want to thank you for tuning in. I do want to say that. It's important. Recognizing and thanking and getting, you know, people to realize that they are an integral part in this process. And you really are integral in this process. But anyway, I just want you to understand that in a Republican form of government, there is nothing more important than having impeccable representatives. Our representatives are, I mean, our politics runs, you know, it's the center of our universe. That's how important our representatives are. And if you marginalize and if you continue to vote for rhinos, then we're just going to have problems. We're going to constantly have problems, and we're going to have people that don't care about compliance to the Constitution. This is why CMR in our congressional district, I'm going to tell you, we need to vote for the Democrat, because then we basically put everybody on notice that we got 2 years for all of the counties in this congressional district to come up with an adequate representative of the people. If they don't, then we'll get a different Democrat. We'll get a different person. We'll just keep on changing until we get it right. We don't have to settle because, oh, well, you know, she's nice. She's a good person. I don't care. When somebody's willing to stand and trample on our liberty, when they're not willing to do the job of supporting the Constitution, the one thing that they're supposed to do based on the oath of office, as the constitutional requirement, they have to support the Constitution. If they don't, they should be disbanded. Barred, I should say, not disbanded, but barred. They should be removed and banned for life. Kathy McMorris Rodgers, every Democrat should be removed. And the day we start holding our elected officials and public servants accountable is the day we actually start seeing real change. Aren't you tired of not getting change? Aren't you tired of just seeing the same crap and the things just getting worse and worse? Let's try something different, huh? Let's try to focus on compliance, and let's try to going down this path of getting these common law grand juries and pushing for republic review and holding people accountable and getting compliance. That's the path to do this. And bad representatives do nothing but support bad agendas, agendas that will undermine exactly what we're doing. To be clear, I want you to understand, what we need are leaders. Leaders build upon core principles to unite others, and they solve problems. We're going to hopefully talk to a gentleman by the name of Rob Chase. He was a treasurer in Spokane County. He came in with the promise that he was only going to serve two terms. Now, to be honest with you, if you look at the treasurer of the county, that's not a true position for a leader. It's not like he has any leadership role or responsibility other than over the department, you know, of the county and so forth for the county. It's not like it's the position for change. So the fact is, after two terms, Rob Chase stood up and stepped down. He said, I ran on the fact that I'm going to only run for two terms, and he stepped down. Now, as far as the representatives, if we can get a good representative, I'm all for a 40-year career for a great representative. What I wouldn't give to have a John Quincy Adams or a James Madison serving in our legislative body. People like that deserve to be elected year in and year out, as long as they're championing for compliance and getting us in the right direction and standing guard against bad ideas and bad government. The difference between a leader and a manager is a leader actually leads. Like I said, they build upon those core principles and uniting others to solve problems. Managers manage agendas. So when you look at a politician and you go, well, this person is going to, you know, their focus is Obamacare. Their focus is to do this. That is an agenda that is not leading on core principles. If you want to consider, oh, well, having a good nationalized health care. Oh, no, hold on. If you want to lead on creating a nationalized health care, then the only process for a leader to lead on nationalized healthcare is to go to Congress and say, we need 2/3 of both bodies of Congress to give us an amendment to put to the states so that we can go to the states and request that the states delegate to us the power to manage healthcare for them. If not, we have no power doing it. But see, a manager doesn't mind what the technicalities are. They're just going to keep on pushing and pushing. If they can get away with doing the wrong thing, violating the Constitution, it doesn't matter. The ends justify the means. But a leader, it does matter. There's a way to do it. There's a process to do it. And we have to follow the process. Because if not, then it's not founded on the Constitution. So it can easily be shifted away. That was James Madison's point in vetoing the bonus bill. Even if the states allow you to violate the Constitution at any point in time, the states can wake up and say, hey, We never gave you the real, we never delegated to you this authority. You just kind of took it and okay, we allowed you to do it, but that's not in the Constitution. You have to give us an amendment and we have to ratify that amendment for it to be legitimate. This is illegitimate government. And therefore, that's why he vetoed it. He did not want to see illegitimate government going forward, at the risk of being identified as illegitimate and then being torn apart. As you know, you have to do things a certain way. If you don't, it's like telling a Christian that, you know, they don't have to do these things to get saved. All they've got to do is just pay some money here. And most Christians would actually see right through that and they would understand. Oh, well, this person's trying to buy a shortcut to salvation. There's no such thing, nor can you be forced, right? So really, when we start looking at the difference between leaders and managers, it's really important to differentiate between a leader that builds upon core principles to solve problems and a manager is just a person that is, you know, there's if you want to say they're sticking their neck out or they're doing somebody's agenda. When the Clintons were trying to push Hillary care, that was somebody's agenda. It's not like that was a core principle that they were trying to do or within the framework of the Constitution they were trying to expand. No, they were going well outside that, and they were being, you know, terrible examples and great managers of somebody else's agenda. Anyway, when we come back, we'll actually make that little comment that I've been using all the time. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so now we've actually made the comment. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Right, so if you understand that cliche, there's an elephant in the room. In other words, you kind of have to walk around it because nobody wants to talk about it. The reality is when we start talking about the party, and it's beautiful that the cliche actually refers to that, what is that? The mascot of the Republican Party, the elephant. So when you deal with a party manager, they're usually telling you that they're working for you. This is all for us. But in all honesty, they're actually working in managing an agenda, getting these people elected. You know, there's no actual control over the people that we get elected. They're going to do whatever they need to do because the whoever's pulling the strings, it's all about the money. You know, that's that adage, he who pays the piper calls the tune. That plays out in politics 100% of the time. I mean, even Trump, when he ran for president the first time, pointed to every single politician on that stage and on the other stages to say, I own that guy because he was contributing to their campaigns millions of dollars because he could. And because by doing so, he owned them. And that's why he was able to call the tune. So why is it that we allow these things? I mean, if you want to fix campaign finance, let's not just talk about it. Let's actually fix it. But that's a different subject, and that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to really talk about fixing the party. So when party managers tell you they are working for you, what they're really telling you is they're actually managing agenda. When party leaders support the Constitution, then they are working for you generically, and that means everybody. Because in supporting the Constitution, they're not just fighting for your liberties, they're fighting for everybody's liberties. But when they're working to get some, you know, some work for a particular corporation, well, maybe that corporation paid, so they should actually get that work because that's what they paid for. That's not how our government's supposed to work. That's not the process. That's actually unethical. It's the same thing with a politician that runs a campaign on, we're gonna institute a program to give money to people that give them free health care. Let's just focus on health care. We want to give everybody health care. And we're going to mandate that everybody get. So now everybody's been straddled with this big, huge cost, this albatross. Oh, yeah, supposedly there's more people that are covered, but actually they've caused more harm in doing so. More importantly, they don't have the constitutional standing to enforce or actually to create this power. The only way they can do it is through an amendment. And, you know, if I remember correctly, there were 29 states that fought the federal government on saying, you can't do this. And then they gave up because the court said, yeah, we're going to let them do it. Are you kidding me? That's the problem by going into the court system. The court system has no jurisdiction over this. This is when the states needed to come together, huddle up and say, okay, look, we didn't give them the power. They need this many states. And at that point in time, they had 29 states to execute Republic Review and shut the government down completely and force them into compliance. But because they've been convinced, oh, no, we got to go to court. And if whatever the court says is final, that's hogwash. The states have the final say over everything regarding this Constitution. Article 5 states that, and Article 7 states that. That the states had to buy in to give the Constitution force. They're the ones that gives the Constitution force. All they have to do is work collectively, not in a convention, a constitutional convention. So anybody that wants to, you know, go crazy and into an epileptic seizure, no. States can still work collectively in enforcing their compact. And that's what Republic Review would do. So, any party leader, I just want to be clear, any party leader, anybody in the party that says they are going to support the Constitution, what they just said is they're supporting you because they're supporting everybody's liberties. They're supporting an equal playing field. They're supporting everybody with the opportunity that you can have the opportunity to fail or opportunity to succeed. That's up to you. But they get government out of the way from picking favors and supporting people that they have no business supporting and they have no constitutional power. Remember, these core principles apply at all levels. party leaders at the county as well as the state count, as well as the state level. Now, the national level, as far as I'm concerned, the national level is ridiculous. The state should be dictating and having full control. This is a grassroots movement. The parties are grassroots. It should come up from the bottom, not top down. If you understand what I'm saying, that means that if you want to take the party and control the party, you actually have to work at your county level. And you have to get your county solid on the Constitution. Then your county can start working with other counties and saying, you need to get solid on the Constitution. If we want to get rid of rhinos, we want to get rid of these agendas, then we have to stand on the Constitution and lead. Then we start forcing these managers out, because they'll actually rear their own head. They'll expose themselves. Oh, well, we can't do that. We can't support, you know, the giving away of an automatic AR-15. Are you kidding? That's bad. No, it's not. The Constitution says it's not. Anyway, are the people in your party at the county level and at the state level, are they leading or are they managing agendas? You know, if you're not involved in your party, you need to start stepping in. You don't even have to be a member to go and listen and just observe. I would challenge you to find out where your county GOP meets, your Republican Party, the official party for the Republican Party, where they meet on a monthly basis. Go and listen. Then you can start seeing and pointing out those who are managing agendas and those who are standing on the Constitution. You will quickly be able to realize what the problem is, because the agenda takes priority over the Constitution. And as my friend John Charleston says, it's time, America, to put America over the party. That's how he puts it. I actually put a little bit of a different twist to it. It's time to put the Constitution over the party. Where are we with Republic Review regarding Wyoming? As you know, we've already got the state party actually supporting it with a committee. Go to the Wyoming GOP page and you'll actually look at about, go to the about, and then down there you'll find a Republic Review tab, and we're working on Republic Review. We need to do this in Idaho. We need to do this in Utah, Montana, South Dakota, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, West Virginia, Kansas, and Ohio. Unfortunately, and I don't mean to alienate any of these other parties that divided themselves from the Republican Party, but you have to have this honesty factor. Are you better serving, the overall effort by being in this other party? Because there's only one dog in this game. The conservatives have to unite under one moniker. And I know I'm getting myself in trouble with the Constitution Party, because they're great people. They're constitutionalists. But the problem is they don't have and they can't have the monopoly on the Constitution. What we need to do is we need to actually get every party. We get everybody centered on the Constitution. That would be a good thing. Then it's all allowing us to unite. It's all allowing us to work together for an end cause. And that end cause is individual liberty and individual sovereignty. So we need to actually get these other states moving. And so there are different ways of doing this. And the common law grand jury is one of them. We all must, and this is the formula that made the framers so successful. We all must put aside our differences and we must put aside our self-interest. You go into any room with your own self-interest. I'm going to be, I've got to make money out of this deal. Then that becomes your focus and your interest and not what's best for everybody. So if you're the WIFM, what's in it for me? There's not much room here. But if you look at what the framers did, they didn't do it. They weren't WIFMs. They didn't say, what's in it for me? Go read the preamble to the Constitution. They did this for, preserving liberty for our posterity. That's what we need to do if we're going to preserve liberty. We have to unite on these principles, friends. Centering our focus on the Constitution is key. We also have to address, again, like I said, that elephant in the room. And at the high level, we must change party bylaws. We have to actually get involved in the party and get involved in the bylaw process at the county level. And then we have to start working to force these changes to the state. Once we change the bylaws, you've obtained control. Now, this conversation, hopefully, with Alan Levy will actually kind of support all of these things, because you're going to hear him talking about these very specific things, bylaws, platforms, and so forth. And so we will dive into these in just a second. But we've got to go to promo, so we'll be right back. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so like I said, at the high level, here are two things that we actually have to do. We actually have to go in to change the party bylaws. Some of the things we have to do in this, because I don't want to dive into the details. One of the things that need to be done regarding the bylaws is that the party actually has to take control over who can claim to be a Republican in the election. The party should have vetting requirements and a vetting standard. You just can't come along, and that's the problem with most of the states. I'm absolutely amazed at how many states actually do not have a vetting process for their candidates. Oh, well, okay, anybody that can claim to be whatever party you want. I mean, it's just this, like I said, it's a laissez-faire. There is no standards. And furthermore, when somebody claims to be Republican and they end up actually disgracing themselves or doing things that violate the party platform, the only reason this person got elected is because of the party. The party has a responsibility to be able to go out publicly and say, this person does not represent the Republican Party and our core values. So why is it that people in, you know, all of these dark red states are getting frustrated with rhinos that are supposedly Republicans, and the Republican Party's hands are tied because the bylaws do not allow them to basically admonish and publicly censure these charlatans, these liars who claim to be Republican, these rhinos? That's what the definition of a rhino is, right? Republican in name only. You have to take control. And the most important way of doing that is your bylaws, because you have to follow your bylaws. If you don't, then you get in trouble by the state election board and so forth. So if it's not in your bylaws, you can't do it. So you have to start changing your bylaws to assert your authority over your brand and over your name. And so when we get to, when we talk about this with Alan, with Alan Levy, you'll find that there is a way of doing this, and the bylaws is critical. Another thing is that the platform is problematic. I'm not sure if you've ever read the Republican platform, but there's everything in it and under the sun that makes you all feel warm and fuzzy. We take a stance on abortion. We take a stance on, you know, drunk driving and drug use and all of these moral issues. Why? If you understand that you focus on the Constitution, then the federal government can't mandate homosexual marriage, abortion, and these other things down your throat. So why fight them on the myopic issues when the issue to focus on is compliance? That's why I highly recommend that every state has two platforms. You have your state platform regarding state issues, because what powers are left to the state? Well, every power underneath the sun is not delegated to the federal government. So your state platform should cover those issues that you have. If you want to have those warm and fuzzy, you know, we feel, you know, the sanctity of life and all of that, and because that makes you feel better that it's there, then that's good. But you really don't need to have that, because the party should be separating. Because if you didn't realize this, if you didn't know, in Article 6 of the Constitution, it bans religious tests and religious issues. We're not supposed to have religious issues on the table. Near as I can tell, every time I hear, you know, abortion, homosexual marriage, these types of things, these are religious issues. Why are we allowing the progressives to inject these things as issues? Because it's not religious to them in their secular mode, but it is. It's an ideologically opposing idea of one religion to another. It is a religious issue. This is not a political issue. The fact of the matter is, if you want the federal government to control marriage, then you have to amend the Constitution. But right now, the federal government has no jurisdiction over marriage, period. And see, this is how you win. This is how we win, because we demand in compliance. Leave these things to the states. If the state wants to actually be stupid enough to, you know, invoke these laws, and I happen to live in one of the states that's been stupid enough to invoke both of these laws. I believe abortion was legalized by the state in 71 by voters, and homosexual marriage. And if you actually do the research on how homosexual marriage was passed in the state of Washington, it was because Soros sent in a goon squad, something less than 1,000, but there were hundreds of kids that were brought in. There were college graduates that he put up for a 6-month period to live in the heavily concentrated areas around schools, colleges, junior colleges, and high schools. And they got all the 18-year-olds to register and vote for love, because that's what it's about love. And he got all the, so if you look at the election when that actually occurred, the numbers, it's just like it's a record number, because they got the kids motivated because there was this one issue to bring the kids out on. Make it a constitutional issue. And as a matter of fact, the problem with all these states is as well, because it becomes a popular vote anyway. What state has a true Republican form of government of changing the Constitution? Every state that I know of uses democracy 50% plus one. Are you kidding me? How is that a Republican form of government when you can whimsically change your Constitution by 50% plus one? So anyway, let's get back to the focus of the party. This is why we want to split the platform. This is why you want to have a national platform that says the federal government has been delegated these powers and these powers only. Anything else that has come within its powers, within its jurisdiction of court, within, you know, the executions of powers, these are all unconstitutional and they must cease and desist immediately. Boy, I tell you what, you send that platform up for the national level and you'll watch the RNC choke. You'll see the RNC leadership just, what's going on here? What happened to the Uniparty? What happened to our globalist agenda of, you know, kind of allowing things, me being moderate? That's really extreme. They want to tell you that your Constitution is extreme. You just remember, your Constitution is extreme because it protects your liberties. And that's why it is their biggest problem. That's why they've been doing everything they can to teach you lies about the Constitution and getting you to believe that the Constitution's passé. We don't need it anymore. Look at government is so good. We saved lives by taking your liberties. You should be pissed off so bad that you should be screaming in the streets, not going postal. We do not want people to, you know, raise guns. What we want is you to raise an army for Republic Review. It's the only way to do this. And I, you know, it sounds like I'm selling this all the time. I want you to understand something. I don't make a penny on this. And this is not mine. As soon as states actually step up and start doing it, they are the owners. They're the real owners here. This is their constitution. They're the ones that need to own this and move this forward. It's really simple, friends. Anyway, as I have said, we need to start splitting for a state. And I think I made the argument. If you don't agree, then let me know. I believe that there needs to be two separate platforms. A very clean constitutional platform moving forward and your state platform. Actually, you should look at your state constitution and say, hey, are there any general powers? And then if there are general powers within your state constitution for education or for healthcare and those types of things, because I'll bet you anything, the progressives, because these are all progressive era things, and the Republican Party has been co-opted into progressivism and so forth, or at least I should say the leadership have allowed these things to happen. I'll bet you anything, you have general powers granted to your state over healthcare, education, these other things. This is why you need to actually take your state back. And there's another way of doing that. But that's not about the party. We're trying to focus on the elephant in the room. Here's the other thing that needs to happen. The use of the oath needs to be instituted. Every person that becomes a member of the Republican Party must take an oath and pledge to, you know, because basically, if you understand who a PCO is, if you do not understand the party apparatus, a PCO is a duly elected person to represent the political party of the Democrats or the Republicans in your precinct. And so if you have precinct, you know, if you live in a precinct, so if you have a precinct committee officer or whatever you call them, because some states may call them differently, but if you have a PCO, that person has actually been elected. Or if there's nobody to oppose them, they automatically get it, just like a regular election, right? If there's nobody to oppose your representative, they still go through the general, but they've won. Now, to save money at the state level, at the precinct level, unless it's opposed, they'll actually just, you become the precinct committee officer at the primary. But if you actually have opposition, then it goes to the general and people vote and you become a duly voted individual by the people. Why is it that basically you now become a public servant for those who represent and identify themselves for the party? Do you understand this? Do you understand why the party has been turning its back on the oath? Because they have their hands tied if they do take the oath. You got to demand that they do. We will be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so we're talking about pledges and oaths for... Because if you didn't know this already, the Republican Party does make every member take a pledge, and they have to pledge that they cannot support any politician that is not Republican. In other words, let's say you actually have a viable libertarian, you know, in the county and a viable constitutional party in the county as well. So you got three good, possibly really good candidates, but actually come to find out the non-Republican is the better, you know, one of the non-Republicans is the better candidate. Well, your hands are tied. You have to support the party over what's best for the county. Is that good? Is that a good thing? Well, yeah, if you're a draconian organization, autocratic, and you want to, you know, hold people down and control them. Now, it's one thing for those who are representing the party. But if all of a sudden you now have a vetting process, and you now actually have, you know, a machine that has cleaned up your politicians, so you have decent politicians. Well, hold it. What if a constitutional party candidate comes along and they're rock solid, or the libertarian? You can't support them because the person that's going to represent the Republican name has to be, you know, supported by you, but not better. Not the better candidate, the one that will actually serve everybody by supporting strictly the Constitution instead of having some of these side agendas. Yeah, we're gonna seek federal funding to improve our highways. Well, hold it. That means that he's not supporting the Constitution. So you haven't cleaned it up yet. Folks, I hope you start understanding. This is why you want your bylaws to hold your politicians accountable.
anybody that violates their oath of office, the party needs to actually discard them. They need to basically have them removed. And as a matter of fact, if you have a party that has control of the county, in other words, your sheriff is supposedly Republican, and your party at the county level is 100% Constitution first and foremost. You are centered on the Constitution, that any type of violation of the Constitution, the sheriff will not bring in federal dollars for his enforcement agency, and there will be no municipal federal dollars going into municipal law enforcement or anything else. All federal dollars for any type of enforcement goes to the militia and the militia alone, because that's the only thing in the Constitution that the federal government is supposed to be funding. So to be clear, once you get your county actually functioning the way it's supposed to function and fully supporting the Constitution, then you now have a sheriff that will actually support the Constitution. But what do you do if you don't? What if you have a rhino sheriff? Well, sheriff's a nonpartisan. You know what? The Constitution is the only nonpartisan thing out there, my friends. And I'm telling you, if you've got a sheriff that claims to be nonpartisan and he doesn't support the Constitution, then he's very partisan, because the only nonpartisan thing out there is the Constitution. So I just trying to help put context to this so that you understand exactly why oaths for the people that are working in the party, for both party members, public servants, and party leaders, they all have to take an oath. This way, everybody starts embracing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And if you don't know anything about Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, don't worry, I've got an article coming. Now, if by chance you're unaware of, you know, my articles that I publish, as soon as I publish these things, these all go up to republicreview.org. But if you follow me on Facebook, that's where I actually post the announcements. So you can go check on Facebook and see what I've posted, or you can go straight to Reclaiming the Republic. But if you want, just go check on Facebook. I do not create a whole bunch of language and noise regarding, you know, anything that I'm doing. I just don't make these random posts. I only post when something is relevant or when we need to put a constitutional perspective on something. That's why I'll go a month, 2-3 months without even putting a post on there. So you won't get a lot of clutter in your notification box from following and or liking Moby Strip Press. I think that's a good thing. If you're looking to actually engage in banter and those types of things, there's other forms for that. We're very focused on one thing and one thing alone, Republic Review, and focusing support all on the Constitution, being constitutionally centered. So another thing that we really need to do at the party level, and you got to understand, at the party level, we have to have education and development of party members, because your party members should be your bench for public servants. So what do you do if all of a sudden you've got a county commissioner that dies or something, for heavens forbid, something bad happens to your state legislator? Well, if you're grooming your county party, then you've got somebody right there that's, you know, you already know who your strong constitutionalists are. They should be your first choice. And you know what? It becomes a sacrifice, but this is why we serve. I stood up when we lost our legislative senator, and I actually stood up to say, I will fill this position, but I will not seek re-election, because it's not my choice to do that. But if you want to have a constitutionalist cover the bases until you can find a good person, then that would be great. But what ended up happening was they ended up seating the wrong person because, oh, this person knows how things work because they were the legislative aide and they know people. In other words, they were already corrupt. And come to find out, you know, our legislative district is literally being managed by corrupt Republicans. They're not supporting the Constitution. They're supporting whatever the party agenda is. Well, maybe most of the party agenda is good,
but it's not in line with the Constitution. So if it's not, then it's bad. Spending federal tax dollars on things we're not supposed to get? I mean, come on. We're mortgaging our future on stupid things for today. We can't afford this. Even if you understand the magnitude of the unconstitutional powers that I've talked about in a previous episode, in yesterday's episode, you know, the EPA and all of these things we spend money on. If you understand the magnitude of the cost of all of that, our children will not be able to afford the debt that we're racking up in doing this. We have to learn to live within our means. And in doing so, scaling back government and allowing the free market. You know, let me ask you something. I've said this before. Do we have a free market? Because the only free market that I know of is called the black market. That's the only free market. How? A free market is a market where the government is not intruding in the action, you know, in your interactions and so forth, in the transactions that occur between a person selling some goods and a person. That's the free market. Whenever you put government in the middle, you've instantly started siphoning off the blood life of one, the manufacturer or the person that creates the product. And you're actually taking away some of the wealth from the person that's buying the product. Because government has a cost. Now, there are certain things that we should just, you know, be hands off completely. But don't say we have a free market. We have a mercantile system because the government controls every facet of what we do. And they have barriers for people to just be, you can't just become a mining company. You have barriers for what you can do and what you can't do. And so if you Sarbanes-Oxley, there's all these different legislative bodies and laws that they've created that have made it impossible for just anybody to be able to compete with these globalist companies. That's exactly what these legislative laws have done. Anyway, so we need to start educating and developing within the party. Why is it that if you go to the party and just go attend for four months, go to four meetings, commit to going to four meetings, and I will prove to you that there will not be one course or one piece of instruction regarding the Constitution. Now, if your county is actually instructing the Constitution, you contact me and I will give my first book to every member of that county. If they're already doing it, you got 4 months to actually prove this, but I'll bet you they're not. Because I live in a dark red county myself. And I am telling you that they don't want people to understand the Constitution because that's when people start adding things up and they start recognizing, wow, this is something stinks here. This isn't right. We shouldn't be doing this. Servants as well need to be very aware. So, you know, one of the bylaws you want to have is you want to make sure that you have continuing education for your public servants. You know, I just can't fathom why we have standards for plumbers, we have standards for electricians, we have standards for pet groomers and florists. They have to get certified to do a plethora. Go look at what your state requires standards for all these different types of professional services that are out there. Then you show me where there's any type of standard for your politician who actually makes these laws and enforces these things upon you. You think that's hypocrisy? More on this in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.